I want to welcome all of our campuses, Siena, Cypress, Downtown, Espanol, Cypress. It was so good to be with you a couple weeks ago, which is awesome. Downtown right now under construction. If you remember last year, we bought an entire city block for a downtown campus, which is just incredible. And now we're redoing that place, and they're meeting in a construction zone of that building, which is just so exciting. Great things going on in Siena and Espanol as well. And so it's just great for us all to join together. We've got a time together that we're going to talk in a little bit different way. I usually take a passage of scripture, chapter so-and-so, verses 1 through 10, and we just go through it. I've got a whole lot of scriptures, so you can follow along in your Bible, but I'm going to be moving fast. We're going to put them on the screens, but I put them on your listening guide. I'd like for everybody to grab your listening guide, and I've got these verses, and I'd love for you to go back over these verses sometime this week as we're getting through this passage, these passages of scripture, to be able to understand that, to go through. We've been in a series called Follower. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And in being a follower of Christ, we've looked at different subjects in Jesus' life. It's been an incredible journey that we've been on. Now, one of the things you'll see that Jesus was big time about, Jesus was really into relationships. Jesus was a great friend, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The friendship of Jesus, the friendship that we have with other people. And Jesus was an incredible friend. And so you can't just pick one passage of scripture. That's why I got so many of them, to be able to look at what it means to be a friend. Do you know that you and I need friends very deeply? We were wired for friendship. We're wired to be connected to one another. That's why all throughout the scriptures, Jesus is talking about friendship and his love for the disciples and his love for the crowds and all different people. But our wiring for friendship is a God-given thing. But you know what? We're struggling with loneliness like crazy in our society. In Great Britain, in the UK, they just appointed a minister for loneliness. Not a minister like me kind of minister, a government official, like the Minister of Defense type thing, a government official to handle the loneliness that's going on in Britain. Here's what they say in this article. Britain, in fact, has a serious problem with loneliness. Research has found that more than 9 million people in the country often or always feel lonely, according to such and such report. The issue prompted the Prime Minister to appoint a minister of loneliness. It's proven, it goes on, it's proven that loneliness can be worse, is worse for health than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That loneliness is worse for your health than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It goes into a different article, another article. This is the title of the article. It's called, Why Are Millennials So Lonely? Why are millennials so lonely? A survey found that Americans, now we're on this side of the pond, that the number of Americans with no close friends has tripled since 1985. Since 1985, it's tripled the number of Americans with no close friends. And mysteriously, it says, loneliness appears most prevalent among millennials. That the death rate increases by 26%. When you're lonely, and doubles our risk of dying from heart disease. So loneliness is a huge, huge problem. Why are the millennials struggling with it? Well, they go in this article and they say basically two reasons. One, that loneliness is contagious, that you get around somebody that's lonely and it makes you lonely. And so misery loves company. And so you got all these folks that are just lonely around here. Then secondly, because all of our things that we're so connected here with so many things, with our phones, with our tablets, with our internet, with our laptops, with screens, and all of us got to do that. I got one. Everybody's got one. But to be able to know that that actually produces loneliness. But here's what's the interesting thing. Internet isolation, but where do we go when we feel isolated? Right back to the internet. Isn't that interesting? So we feel lonely and we actually go to the place. And so it's this vicious circle that goes around and around and around and around. I want you to just do a little study. Walk into a restaurant and notice how many people are eating together but doing something else. What we do in our family a lot of times, we have a technology tower. We'll put all the phones in the middle of the table and we'll stack it up right there in the middle of the table. And whoever grabs their phone first has to pay for the meal. Now, the negative is I always end up paying for my meal, the meal, because it's the family, right? So who else is going to pay for it but my dad, whether I touch my phone or not? I did it with some teenagers. We stacked it up in the middle of the table, and they weren't going to pay for the meal, but I did this with them. I said, here's the deal. Whoever touches their phone first has to walk around and cluck like a chicken around the table. And it was great to be able to have that thing. And then I'd say, okay, everybody's got 35 seconds, go. And everybody would grab it, and then they put it back. And I said, okay, did any emergency happen in the last 10 minutes that we were off our phones? Zero. But what happens is we're lonely because we're isolated, and we're isolated, so we end up going back to the internet and back to screens to get even more lonely. Students, even as you go through things, I just want to encourage you, just students specifically, if you can learn to listen in 30-minute increments, it'll change your life. Well, you listen to a whole sermon. You listen to a whole teaching time. But what happens is we've geared ourselves for about 30 seconds of increments, and you'll waste your whole life playing a game and missing what would have been a message, what would have been an encouragement, would have been something going on in your life. We're in this vicious trap of going over and over of loneliness, of loneliness. Billy Graham, if you didn't get to watch Billy Graham's service this week, watch it. Go on the internet. It was powerful to see. Billy Graham said this, loneliness is no respecter of persons. It invades the palace as well as the hut. Then he said further, he goes, the kind of society that we live in can contribute to loneliness. Mobility and constant change tend to make people feel rootless and disconnected. So Billy Graham's speaking to that. Do you ever feel lonely? I know I do at times. There's a difference in an episode of loneliness and a life of loneliness. I want us to look and see what it means to be a friend, what the friendship of Jesus means, how you can be a friend, how I can be a friend, and how we can see that we need friendships. We need God to help us by giving us great friendships. So here we go. I'm going to give you the points, and then we're going to hit some scripture. Here's point one. Jesus was a friend of sinners and saints. Jesus was a friend of sinners and saints. Sometimes in the church, we can back up and say, no, 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 we're just going to be friends with saints. We're not going to hang out with any of those people that do all that stuff. Jesus was a friend of sinners as well. Look at Matthew 11, verse 19. The Son of Man, that's Jesus, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, talking about Jesus, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. So Jesus Christ was actually a friend of tax collectors, sinners, gluttons, drunkards, all these things. So much that he hung out with them that they said, you must be just like them. See, here's what happens with this. Jesus Christ stepped into those places, not because it was some type of way to justify, yeah, I'll say I'm going, but I'm really kind of going because I'm going to participate. Wasn't that? It was Jesus stepping in to say, I want to make such a difference. I want to shine in such a way that they're able to see there's something better. There's something greater. There's something more. So we should hang out with people that don't know Christ. We should hang out with people that do bad stuff. But we don't hang out to justify us participating in the stuff. We hang out so that we can show them something better, to make a difference in their life and to befriend them and to be able to connect with them in those ways. We have to show care, but we also have to be careful. Look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Do not make friends with an angry man. Do not be a companion of a hot-tempered man. Why? Or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. So he's saying, look, you don't go get friends with a hot-tempered man because you're going to end up with him. Do you ever see in friendships, sometimes you get around somebody and you start complaining kind of like they complain? You start getting mad like they get mad? You're around them and you're kind of fine. I mean, no, nothing's perfect in the world. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, those Republicans. Yeah, those Democrats. Yeah, those independents. Yeah, you're right. And we start getting angry. Do you ever get around somebody else and you begin to gossip a little bit more than what you would really want to do because they just kind of pull that out of you? Do you ever get around somebody and you, for some reason you get around them and you just feel like, I just got to go buy more stuff. I need more things. You get around them and you think, well, I should act like this more. I should do like this more. And all of a sudden, if we get around in that category, we could actually get pulled down. If I was to stand up on this chair, it would be easier to pull me down than it would be for me to lift you up. So we've got to be careful in those realms. Students, let me speak to you. Young singles, let me speak to you very clearly. We've said it numerous times in our church because I want it to get in your mind. Choose your Friday night friends very carefully. You can have Wednesday lunch friends all day long, but when you begin to choose Friday night friends that are angry men and women or drunkard men and women or this, that, and other, whatever it is, when you get to be around them like that and those Friday night friends, there's a tendency for you to slip into that. Adults, the same thing for us. that we can get influence, and all of a sudden we become so materialistic, we become so angry, we've been so gossipy, we've been so this, so that, whatever it is, because we've been in that relationship that we should be in, but the sea has begun to come into the boat. And now in those moments, we've got to be careful as well. So students have amazing interactions with all kinds of people. But choose your Friday night friends very carefully, because you can end up in a lot of trouble. You can end up in a lot of trouble. George Washington put it like this. I mean, this is George Washington, right? This is a big time guy for us. Associate yourself with men of quality if you esteem your own reputation. For it is better to be alone than to be in bad company. Because here's what will happen. You'll either get pulled into the same stuff they're doing, or they'll get in trouble for it, and you'll get thrown into the same lot that they were in. And it'll end up being just bad company corrupting good morals. So having a friendship with sinners, yes. Why? Because we were all sinners, and we all still struggle with sin. But we want to reach out in that way, so connect in that way, without question, without a doubt. Let's don't become a holy huddle as a church. We only hang around these people right here. Let's step out in confidence to be able to make a difference. Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he was also a friend of saints. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 14, or John 15, excuse me, verse 14 and 15. John 15, you are my friends. How? If you do what I command you. So walking in obedience. I do not call you slaves anymore, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. So here's what it's saying. It's saying that obedience actually brings greater friendship with God. So he says, I've revealed to you everything that my Father has for me to reveal to you. You've got it all right there in your lap. I've got it all right here in my Bible. And that revealing says, if you're going to walk with me, you're going to walk with me in intimacy and friendship. You and I have the ability, we'll talk more further in the message, about being a friend of Jesus. And here's what happens. You get to be his friend, and your obedience, you're walking with him in the ways that he's commanded you, actually deepens your friendship with God. I've been walking with the Lord about 31 years now, and I want you to know Jesus is my best friend. I have grown in that friendship and that relationship with him, and turning in good times, in bad times, in up times and down times. His friendship means more to me than any other friendship on earth. He's my friend, but the intimacy of my friendship with him, it's growing by my obedience to what he says. The proximity with God, if you're a believer in Christ, never changes. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. It's never God's way over here and your way over here. But the intimacy in your relationship with God can change. And that intimacy of that friendship is based upon us being followers of Christ instead of running away from Christ. And so when we're not walking with him, we actually end up in a place where we're not walking in intimacy with him. So Jesus was a friend of saints. Jesus was a friend of sinners. And for both of them, we sacrifice, we share, we befriend, we connect, we love. But here's a question I want to ask you of this. Which one do you need more of in your life? Are you so filled with folks that don't walk with God that you're like, man, if I could get one Christian friend, that would help me so much. Well, you've come to the right place. We'd love to help you in that. Do you have so many Christian friends you're like, oh, lost people. Let me think. Have you gotten so cloistered in that it's just you and it's being able to do? Let me just share real transparently with my own heart, my own journey. I came to Christ when I was 16 years old. I didn't know a person that went to church, it didn't feel like. Everybody I knew was partying and going crazy. So I had plenty of my fill of sinners. And then I started to discover some saints. Then college, I had like the perfect balance. And then when I went to seminary, well, that just ruined it, right? I go over here to the saint category. And then I get into working for a ministry. Then I get into working for the church. Now I got so many saint friends, and I love all y'all. I know you're not perfect, I understand, but I got so many saint friends over here. I actually have to work on having people that are friends outside the church. My vocation has cloistered me in. Can you see how that happens? It's cloistered me in where actually right now in my life in preparing this message, I'm praying for a sinner friend struggling with a certain sin. I'm like, Lord, I need somebody that struggles with that. I don't know anybody really well that struggles with that. Help me, bring that to me. Because I want to be a minister and I want to understand their thoughts. I want to be able to do in those ways. I want to make a difference. I don't want to do that, But I want them to be able to see me as a friend that maybe I could help them. So I'm just praying that God would do something like that. Are you in a place where you need some more saints? Are you in a place where you need some more sinners? Where are you? Because we got to be in those both those places to be able to walk it out. So I've made a shift from high school to now, and I need to get a little bit more balanced in my life, and my vocation just puts me in kind of the saint route a little bit more. And I know that obviously makes sense to you, but to be able to balance that. So Jesus was a friend of saints and sinners. Number two, Jesus was a friend of the close and the crowds. Jesus was a friend of the close. That's those that are like him or that are around him a lot, that are close friends. And he was a friend of the crowds as well. How do we see him being a friend of the close? He had his disciples that were around him that journeyed with him. How do we see him being a friend of the close? He said, hey, I want you three to come with me a little bit closer, come a little bit further here on our journey here. We see him taking in the transfiguration, those up on the mountainside, a little bit closer to him. In the garden, come a little bit away with me. Jesus was close. You and I should have close friends. But Jesus was also a friend of the crowds, also a friend of the crowds. And we need that as well. You and I need close friends. Benjamin Franklin said, be slow in choosing a friend and even slower in changing one. A Russian proverb, an old friend is better than two new ones. Let me tell you what, we do not need a ton of close friends. We don't need a ton of close friends. You only need a few. 2 Timothy, Paul, his last writings, he said, only Luke is here with me. Students, you don't need to move in a pack. You just need some close friends around you. Adults, you don't need 50 close friends. You just need a few friends that are around you. I've got on my Facebook page thousands of friends. I actually got two Facebook pages because one of them got filled up, couldn't go anymore, so I had to move to a different one to be able to do. So but that's not a real friend, is it? Some of them are, sure, but it's not the real thing of being able to have that happen. We need close friends. Malcolm Marshall is our Siena campus pastor, and Malcolm Marshall's mama, who I've not met, but I'd like to meet Malcolm's mom. She's got to be a great lady. Malcolm's mom said this. She said, when it comes to friends, you can either have this. You can have 100 pennies, or you can have 4 quarters. And far better, Malcolm, to have 4 quarters than to have 100 pennies. And many of us got 100 pennies, but we need 4 quarters. We just need a dollar's worth of friends. That's 4 friends that are around us to be able to say, I want to be your friend. Jesus had close friends. Do you have close friends? Are you investing in those close friendships to be able to let them grow and let them take place? He also had the crowd. Look at the crowd in verse 36 of chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them. Because they were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus saw the crowds and they were weary and worn out. They were like sheep without the shepherd. See, we want to be able to have friends that are crowds, acquaintances at the office, a lot of friends on the football team or in the band or in the drama department or wherever you're cruising along, to be able to have those friends in those big, big settings. We live in a big city. We need big friendships. You go to a big church to be able to have a lot of crowd friendships. That's awesome to be able to have. It's really the balance between introvert and extrovert, isn't it? The extroverts tend to like the crowds a lot more, and the introverts tend to like just a few close friends a lot more. It's really the picture of my marriage. I'm an extrovert. I love it to be more people. I'm like, let's invite somebody else. Let's invite somebody else. Let's invite somebody else. My wife likes it a little bit smaller. She's an introvert. She just wants kind of a smaller little pack, so we'll go to a party. We'll go to a thing or whatever it is, and we'll show up, and she'll be like, how do you walk around and talk to everybody at the party? How do you do that? And this is what I tell her. And she goes and talks like one person for 45 minutes the whole time. She said, how do you walk around and talk to everybody at the party? And this is what I tell her. I'm shallow, okay? That's why. The worst thing that could be happening is I get cornered in 45 minutes going, but I gotta talk to all these people. And now, But the worst thing for her would be to walk around and try to talk to every single person in there and get all that connection. She's different. She's more of an introvert. I'm more of an extrovert. That's okay. That makes for a great marriage. That's a good thing. Jesus was the perfect blend of extrovert and introvert, wasn't he? We see him go away in solitude on the mountain. We see him teach a small group of disciples, but we see him on the hillside say, looking at the crowds, they were like sheep without a shepherd. Let's give them some food to eat. Let's feed thousands at our party. Let's have a big, big party. Jesus was that perfect, perfect connection. And that's what the church has got to be. The church has got to be a connection of the close and the crowds. We want to reach the world. And at the same time, we want to get in life Bible studies together where we connect with one another on a personal basis. It's the crowd and the close. Now, I want to give you a great place of celebration. We're going to celebrate this together. This is awesome because it's a great picture of crowd and close. This is a great picture of crowd and close. Last week, we had our time of giving to the World Mission Offering. We had everybody, we prepared you for the month of February, and we said, we're going to go for it on February 25th, and we're all going to give, and we're going to give to the crowd. We don't know all these missionaries. We don't know all these people they're going to reach. We don't know all these people they're going to contact with, but we're going to give to the crowd, and then that missionary is going to be resourced so that they could get in that small group Bible study in Turkey, in Korea, in Japan, in China, wherever it is, and they're going to be in this close part of building their relationships. So we're going to give to the crowd so that we can get missionaries into the close. You see it? That's awesome. That's incredible. Let me tell you what happened last week. Here's what happened last week. We had a goal of $1.1 million to raise to give to missions in the state, in the country, and all around the world as well. $1.1 million. Here's what happened last week through your giving and my giving. $1.593 million. Is that awesome? Man, every campus clapping and celebrating. Almost 1.6. You could still give. We'll probably get to 1.6 as people continue to give. That'd be great. Not only that, that actually, we went further on our goal, so we're going to be able to do more. Here's three things that we're going to be able to do. Let me show you on the screens. One, these are to finish up International Mission Board projects. We're going to take the ball across the goal line. It's on the 20-yard line with these projects we're taking across. $50,000 given the International Mission Board to care for children living in a women's prison. Missionaries that are put right towards that to be able to help them. We can't even tell you really where it is. It's to a security clearance issue type deal. $78,000 for a shelter for beggar girls. Can you imagine that? In Bangladesh. You and I are a part of helping girls get off the street that are begging. And that type of begging often ends up into child prostitution, just so you know. $34,000 for Syrian refugee support. So when you see Syria on the news, you can say, I'm a part of fixing that problem. I'm a part of being a part of that. It's not on the screen, but we're going to be able to give about $50,000 to plant a church in San Francisco, to be able to say, man, let's put some churches in San Francisco as well. It's absolutely incredible that God's allowing us to do this. It's so good. Now here, let me tell you, this is where I really want you to go crazy because this is the biggest celebration. We love this. This is people's lives here. Typically, we've had about 700 folks involved in giving to the World Mission Offering. Typically 700 folks involved. We said, if you remember, I did a series a while back called Everything and Everyone. If we're going to do everything God wants us to do, we need everyone to participate. If we get everybody to participate, we can do everything God wants us to do. So everything, everyone. So our goal was to increase the participation on this offering to support missionaries. So students, you did a great job. Kids did a great job. All different age groups. 700 is what we had about last year. And this is how many we had this year that participated. 2,438 families. Is that awesome? I mean, 700, I'm no mathematician, but 700 times 3 is only 2,100. So we went past that. Absolutely incredible to join in. And here's what I want you to know as well. Typically, the World Mission Offering, typically, has been older people at the loop. That's typically what it's been. And on this one, what happened, multi-site, you showed up in a big way. It's awesome to see multi-site show up. Students, young singles, young marrieds, younger folks, whatever you want to call yourself younger, whatever age that is, to be able to say, we're all in this, and we jumped in as a church, and because of that, we got to do even more than we could ask or imagine. Isn't that great? Everyone can do everything God wants to do. One more applause for that. Let's give it. Yeah. So we gave to the crowd so that these missionaries could get close. So we're with the crowd and we're with close, which is absolutely incredible. So, so cool. Third point, here we have, we can be a friend of God through Christ. We can be a friend of God through Christ. You think it's cool to be friends with somebody who's rich? You get to be a friend of God. You think it's cool to be friends with somebody who's popular? You get to be a friend of God. You get to be a friend of the Lord. You think it's cool to be a friend of some athlete? You get to be a friend of God. You get to be a friend of somebody that's famous? So what? You get to be a friend of God through Christ. That's amazing. That's incredible. Let me show you a couple verses just to give illustration to this. This is James chapter 2. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. His faith made him righteous, and he was called God's friend. Exodus 33, verse 11. The Lord spoke with Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with his friend. Job chapter 29, verse 4 and 5. Job's going through a hard time. I would be as I was in the days of my youth when God's friendship rested on my tent. He's saying, this is the most important thing in my life is a friendship with God. You get to be a friend of God. How? Jesus Christ, God's son, came to earth. And if you place your faith in his death to be the payment for your sins, acknowledge your sin and say, I'm going to have to die for this sin to make right with God. Jesus died in my place. I place my faith in you. He died on the cross, and then you place your faith and trust in his death and his resurrection. That was your death. That was your resurrection. And the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And when he lives inside of you, now that Holy Spirit, that's your connection with God through Christ. And you've got a friend that's closer than a brother because he's in your heart through Christ. That's an amazing thing. And you know what happens in that moment? Check this out. This is great. You don't have 100 pennies as friends. You don't even just have 4 quarters as friends. You got a silver dollar, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's all you need. And you stand on that silver dollar and watch the talk come together. You stand on the silver dollar. He's all I need. So now I can step out to the sinners because I don't need what they got. And I don't have to get pulled down in that way. And I don't have to worry if I'm angry enough, rich enough, pretty enough, this, that, or that enough, popular enough, whatever it is. I can stand right here and I can come back to my silver dollar and that could be my place of security. And then I can step out to the saints. And sometimes the saints can get too pious and we can get a little snooty and a little bit pharisaical. But we don't have to say that's Christianity. We know that's not Christianity. This is Christianity. I'm standing on the silver dollar of Jesus. I can be with the crowds even if you're an introvert. You're going to have to wind it up sometimes and just be friendly with more people than you need to be or want to be. And to be able to say, but you know what? My heart, my foundation is still on that Savior, that one person that speaks to me in the silence, in the quietness, that speaks to my soul. You could be an extrovert and know that it's not stepping out to the crowd. It's not everybody liking you. It's the fact that Jesus loves you. And that's your silver dollar. And from those places, now we're with saints, we're with sinners, we're with crowds, we're with close, because we have the friendship of Jesus. Billy Graham said this, there are thousands of lonely people who carry a heavy and difficult burden of grief, anxiety, pain, and disappointment. Listen, but the loneliness of all is the one whose life is steeped in sin. That's the loneliness of all. Sin will put you in solitude. And Jesus comes to forgive our sins so that you don't have to be lonely. Let me be your minister of loneliness for just a moment. Jesus wants to be your friend that is so close. And from that closeness, you then can take a step out in any direction, but you have firm security on the rock of ages of Jesus Christ. If you don't have friends, let me encourage you, pray to Jesus and ask God to give you good friends. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I was going off to college. I went to this orientation camp and I was there and I didn't know anybody going, and you get there and it feels like everybody else knows everybody and you don't know anybody. And I'm sitting there and I'd prayed for the week beforehand. I'd only been a believer really about a year and a half, 17 years old, going off to college. And I just said, Lord, I just pray that you provide for me a friend. I just need one friend on this thing. I'm kind of making a risk of going out here and, it's going to be staying cabins and all this stuff and I don't know anybody. And so if you just give me one friend, I can remember as clear as today. I could see it in my mind's eye right now. I sat down at the cafeteria table. I just sat down. Can I sit here? Yeah, you can sit here. I sat down and across the way, the person across the way, I said something about church. And you know how you can find out if somebody, where they are by, you say something about church and they're like, yeah, how about the Texans, what's the weather? I mean, it just doesn't even know, I do not compute church. It's like, then somebody else will go, yeah, well, where do you go to, and it starts going. So I said something and this person across the table just lit up And we started to talk about the Lord, and we started to talk about Christian music we liked, and we started talking about a camp we'd been to and a speaker we had, you know, heard, and all this stuff. And they didn't become my best friend, but in that moment, that's exactly what I needed to just encourage me. Just encourage me. Pray that God would give you a friend, because that silver dollar of Jesus, he loves to provide quarters, and he'll provide pennies too. But let the silver dollar of Jesus be your number one friend. He changes everything. There's a wonderful and old hymn, and it says this: what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I tell you this, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. And through Christ, he can provide for you, students and senior adults alike. He can provide for you the friends that you need. It changes everything to trust in the Lord. And what will happen is he begins to change you, and you'll become a friend to other people. This poem, before we have our last point, this is a great poem. I went out to find a friend. I could find no one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. So when we go out to be a friend, that's how we attract friends. Four quick things. We'll go on fast, right, quickly. Four quick things on what Christ can do. He showed us this in his friendships. We can show it in other people in our friendships as well. Number one, compassion. The more you get about the silver dollar of Jesus Christ, the more compassionate you will be to other folks, be they saints or sinners. You'll be able to come around with compassion, not judgment. Jesus looked out on the crowds with compassion. Number two, conversation. Jesus had deep and meaningful conversations with folks. As we grow in our relationship with Christ and we have Christian friends and folks that don't even know Christ, we're able to ask questions like this: how are you really doing? Not, I'm so busy, you're so busy. Not, boy, it's bad weather, it's bad weather. Not, it's Houston traffic. I mean, all those things that you got to do, I get it. That's how we kind of interact with each other on a surface level. But we're able to have real conversation of soul talk between one another to have that great depth to be able to connect. Number three, if we walk with Jesus as our friend, we're going to be loyal friends. We're going to be loyal friends. I love this verse of scripture, Proverbs 17:17. It's a great verse of scripture. A friend loves at all times, and a brother was born for a difficult time. When you text somebody going through a hard time, when you say, I'm praying for that surgery, I'm praying for you and your grief, I know this is a tough time for you. When you call, when you talk, when you get a cup of coffee with them, you are a brother and a friend of loyalty in that moment to be able to have. We've all gone through difficult times. And you know, when people run in, when it feels like everybody else is running out, that makes a huge, huge difference. Number four, and finally, growth. Growth. If we are walking with Jesus as our number one friend, then there's going to be growth in our life of being a friend. And the people we interact with in our friendships, they should be giving growth in your life as well. You should have friends in your life that you're around, you're like, man, that guy challenges me. That is awesome. Man, that lady is really, what an amazing knowledge of scripture or prayer or kindness. Man, it's just an amazing thing to be able to see that. My wife and I sometimes will be around folks, and especially older couples will say this: let's be like them. Let's be like them. That's what we'll say after we've been around an older couple that's been married all these years, whatever it is. Let's be like them. Or we'll say, what's a quality in so-and-so that you would like to have in your life? And to be able to just develop that growth that happens in our life. Are you lonely? Because a lot of people are. Are you lonely? Let me tell you what. Jesus loves the saints. He loves the sinners. He loves the crowd. He loves the close. He wants to be your friend, and these qualities will come out in your life. Last thing, and I'm done. When I came to know Christ as my Savior at 16 years old, I had all these friends, and I was so worried that the Lord would take my friends away. I almost didn't come to Christ because I was worried he would take my friends. It's an important thing for a high schooler, right? If I really walk with God, then I'll lose all these friends. And I took that step. I believe there was a silver dollar there. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And 31 years later, I want you to know, I lost some friends. I lost some friends. You're not going to walk with God and really walk with him and not lose some people along the way. It's just not going to happen. But let me tell you what. Those that I lost, you know what? I wasn't going to hang out with them probably anyway. Ones that are still friends, I still call friends. You know how many of my really high school buddies I hang out with now? Very few. A couple of them I still keep in touch with, but very few do I. I mean, that's why reunions are fun, right? Because you don't see these people. But I almost got off of not walking with God because I wanted to keep this crew together that, guess what, wasn't going to stay together anyway. And I trusted Jesus because, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. And then Jesus, that silver dollar, has allowed me to have a bunch of pennies and a bunch of nickels and some dimes and some quarters. But it's all based on who he is that gives me the strength and the ability. So let God do that in your life. And if you'll find a friend in Jesus, you will allow him to provide for you. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. And then let God do his work. We'd love to help you with that. Life Bible study, small groups, whatever we can do to help you with that. Every campus. But to take that step, people need a friend. You need a friend. I need a friend. And we've got to be able to walk these things out as a follower of Jesus Christ. Father, we come in the powerful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these quotes, Father, from really founding fathers of our nation. Thank you, Lord, for your heart for us, that you have wired us to be friends. Thank you for an amazing church, that we could be friends with one another. Thank you for that, Lord. That's a blessing. And thank you, number one, most important, without, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we've got the silver dollar of friendship in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we could be your friend. That's huge. And that changes everything. So may we come to that. May we thank you for that. And may we grow in that. And we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.